A senior White House official insisted today that the decision has nothing to do with domestic politics and next year's presidential election. But many commentators in Washington have been saying it is domestic politics that's driving the Bush administration's Iraq policy. To consider the possibilities, we turn to two people. First, pollster Andrew Kohut, director of the Pew Center for the People and the Press. I asked him whether an improving economy, which is what appears to be happening, will trump Iraq in the minds of voters.
Pre-September 11th, you would say the answer to that is absolutely yes. Remember, it's the economy, stupid, but we're in a different environment. There's the threat of terrorism, and there's also a situation in Iraq that has the American public very concerned. And Iraq and foreign policy concerns are twinned now in the traditional way with the economy. It used to be in the old days, it was peace and prosperity. Then it became, it's the economy, stupid. Well, it's really peace and prosperity again. And peace is Iraq and terrorism. And Iraq is not going well in the eyes of the American public.
Now, views on Iraq in your big poll have been changing in interesting ways. On April 3rd, 3 weeks into the war, you polled on whether or not force should have been used in Iraq. And in April, the president had everyone with him. I mean, his own party, by huge numbers, of course, but support across the board.
Absolutely. 74%, not the 85% we had for Afghanistan, but still pretty good. And that has slowly come down. And with that number, the president's overall approval rating, in fact, the president's approval rating back then was 72%. And now it's 55, 52, 53, depending upon the poll. Ours was 53 in late October. And Iraq has had a lot to do with that.
Now, when you looked at those Iraq numbers in October, there were two groups that you highlighted, independents and women.
Absolutely. The gender gap on the decision to go to war in Iraq has widened. There wasn't much of a gender gap back in April. Now women are much more concerned, and a plurality of women think that it was the wrong decision. And there's been more of a shift among independents than there has been among Republicans. And other key groups, too, are older people. Women and older people have been the first two groups to show the most concern about what's going on in Iraq, and they are the two groups in which President Bush's reelection fortunes have fallen the furthest and the fastest.
We're looking at this right at a sort of a crux time when the economy is beginning to improve and Iraq is in a particularly ugly state. Can you tell which is the most important issue?
When we looked at our survey in September and October, what we saw was the economy and Iraq having about the same power and influence on people's answers as to whether they want to see the president reelected or a Democratic candidate replace him. And that's something we're going to keep looking at, because these two situations are dynamic and they're going to determine, most likely, the outcome of this election.
Andy Kohut heads the Pew Center for the People and the Press. Andy, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
We turn to Steve Weissman, chief diplomatic correspondent for the New York Times, to ask if next year's election really is affecting Iraq policy. He says there's a big debate going on within the administration.
Right now, what's really interesting to me is there is a wing of the administration that is, whether you agree with them or not, rather idealistic. They hope that for whatever reasons we went into Iraq, weapons of mass destruction that turn out at least not to be there so far, now is an opportunity to build a democracy in Iraq and let it serve as an example to the Arab and Muslim world. And President Bush gave expression to that in a speech a week or two ago. But then there's another wing that's very realistic, and that's the military, which says, look, we're not very good at nation building, we Americans. And President Bush gave expression to that view during the campaign. So people like Rumsfeld and a lot of the military people say, look, they've been disdainful of this whole idea of nation building all along. And it's those people who are really saying, you know, we should really get out of there.
If there is pressure coming from Republicans in Congress to stay in, and from some of the neoconservative supporters of the president, like the editor of the Weekly Standard, for example, William Kristol, and all of the people who work for him, who yeah. write for that magazine. Where does the president come down on that? I mean, he's facing pressures from all directions, including pressures from families to get out of there.
a lot of people feel that President Bush's instincts will be to stay the course, as they say it. So I would have to agree, just from my reporting, that that's the most likely thing. But, you know, this is an administration that operates on a worst-case scenario basis. We went into Iraq on the basis of a worst-case scenario. What if they have weapons? What if they give them to terrorists? What if they give them to someone else? Well, here's the worst-case scenario of what happens if we leave too early. It's very easy to imagine it falling apart because of the lack of acceptance, a culture of acceptance, among the many factions, religious, tribal, ethnic, linguistic, in Iraq, and an implosion of a country, a fragmentation of that country, would suck in the neighboring countries of Iraq because they have their own groups in Iraq that they're close to, and that could lead to a war that could spread throughout the region. That's the fear of Arab countries in the neighborhood.
You're suggesting that the president buys in to the possibility that a new Iraq could make a big difference in the Middle East, and that he's prepared to stay the course. But one of the strongest influences in the president's political life, Karl Rove, the man who got him elected, I mean, surely he must be looking at another bad outcome. The president loses the election over Iraq.
A lot of people feel that Karl Rove, you know, who's a student of history, American history, is capable of looking at the long term as well as the short term. I'm sure he's hearing from a lot of his Republican colleagues, get out, let's get out. We cannot have these kind of bombings, killings, funerals extending into next year. But I know that he's also being told that, in a funny way, having fewer American troops next year at election time, but a more chaotic situation, is worse than having a large number of American troops and a more stable situation. He's looking at that, I'd be willing to bet, that trade-off right now.
That sort of long view.
Yeah, I mean, he's a politician, and he knows that chaos is not good politics either.
Steve Weissman is the chief diplomatic correspondent for The New York Times. Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.